We're back. We're about 15 minutes into hour three, and a much more comprehensive introduction to where everybody stands from Mike Welch even than I expected. I thought we would get a quick weekend kind of review, but Mike, nice enough to hang for the full 40 minutes or so and give you your first glance. And now comes the moment you've all waited for. One of the classic moments over the 50 weeks a year that we broadcast. Your invocation from the Right Reverend Darren Rogers. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. You know, it's always good to have you back. It's also the panic sign. It's the first sign. It's like Derby's here. Steve's in town. Oh, gosh. He's always the first on the scene. You and Welshie and Barbara Livingston. But, yeah, welcome back to Churchill Downs. What are we, 12 days now?
Well,
open on Saturday.
It's
here.
So, yeah,
it's here. It's here. Check all those boxes.
Exactly.
That's what we're doing around here.
Well, and what you're doing around here never stops. I mean, and we always kind of check in with this conversation about what is happening, and there's just nonstop. It's just crazy. Every single year, there's new construction, there's new ideas, there's new wrinkles. There's always
reinvestment.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a lot going on. You know, at the end of let's start with the racing aspect. We installed the $10 million Tahoma 31 Bermuda grass, and it's overseeded with rye.
I was going to ask what the blend was out there.
Yeah, and so it also widened the course from 80 feet to, I think it's now 85, and in addition to that, you know, when you remove the old turf course, and by the way, that was the original turf course from 1985 when it was first put in, and, you know, I'm not an expert on, you know, grass and what do you install, that type of thing. But the best way it was described to me was the old course was like having an Apple iPhone 2, and we needed to upgrade to the 12, you know, after all these years. And there is a science behind turf maintenance. And so, you know, we got rid of all that stuff. The old course was crowned with a crown in the middle. Now it's banked. So that'll enable us to have four lanes of racing as opposed to three. We used to be, 0, 10, 15, and 22 feet out. We'll be able to go out further. And I have to check the exact measurements of the different lanes, how far they'll be out. But, you know, when we're in lanes 1 and 2, we'll be able to have 14 runners a race. Lane 3 would be 12 runners. And then lane 4, which Jamie Richardson, our track superintendent, he says, you know, I don't even think I need to use lane 4 that often. Maybe if there's no, you know, grass stake over the weekend and it's a slower week, just to let it recover. But you'll be able to get 10 horses per race all the way out in lane 4. So, you know, I think at first, you know, with it, you know, finally going down, what, October-ish? And by the way, there's a subsystem, drainage, all that good stuff to go along with it. But, you know, it's taken root. Everything looks good. We had our outriders, Greg Blasi and Lee Lockwood, they galloped out over with good reports. We had the jockeys take a test spin last week, and all good reviews. So, yeah, everything looks good. I think it'll be in good use on Derby week, and then probably back off during the spring meet at first, let it recover, rebound, you know, have two, maybe three races a day during the spring meet. But I think once we get to September and fall, I mean, I think you're going to see up to four races on turf a day here at the Downs.
Well, and you bring up, you know what, I hadn't thought about this, but you do bring up a good point with the rebooting of the September fall meet. that's more that that's an extra that was an extra, you know, an extra set of usage of the turf course.
Well, and now Arlington Million Day, the one standalone day that we're going to have at Churchill Downs.
We haven't talked about this yet.
On Saturday, August the 13th, one day of racing. So that'll be, you know, in good use then. So, you know, you've got that $10 million investment there. We took the old sections 120 to 123. They were, you know, bleacher seats. I always described it. If anybody's been to, you know, Notre Dame's football stadium, where it's, you know, historic, but it's just bleacher seats, right? Old bleachers. So we took, we redesigned that and imagined an entirely new space. It's like a hip turf club in a lot of ways, but it's the home stretch club.
The bar, the crazy bar.
Oh, man, we've got, so you've got about 2,600 stadium-style seats, all cushioned, so those are great spots. You also have, at the top, about 60 terraced dining tables that are covered.
Wow.
And then on the rail, and this is the coolest thing, there are 23 lounges. And the lounges, you have to imagine, you know, think of a soft seating that is horseshoe-shaped style.
Banquettes.
Banquettes, exactly. Right on the rail, and it's a private section area, and right in the middle of the horseshoe, you've got a little table. So it's a spot for, say, up to 8 friends. Think of VIP bottle service in a nightclub meets floor seats at an NBA basketball game. That's what this is. It is right on the rail. Right on the rail. And then inside, we have 18,000 square feet of new hospitality space, indoors, covered, and that has the largest bar in Kentucky, 95 feet long, inside, and a beautiful grand staircase. We're going to do a media preview tomorrow, so we'll let you walk through it tomorrow.
Cool.
Oh, no, you'll be on the air.
What time?
10:30, but I'll give you a private tour after the show right now.
All right.
But anyway, it's a fabulous new space. That's for this year's Derby. Next year, you know, we're building out the first turn. We did all the permanent foundation groundwork on that, the electrical, the plumbing, all that stuff. And that's paved over. But what you'll see this week, the usual temporary build out. Once we run this Derby and that starts to get torn down on May the 8th, we'll go wrap it into construction of permanent first turn seating. You know, a few years ago, before the pandemic hit, we announced about a $300 million build-out plus a hotel. But when the pandemic hit, we just felt that the funding for that project would be better reallocated into other projects. Building a hotel right now just for $300 million didn't make sense. So we changed those plans. Gone are, you know, what you saw the last year. The old elevator staircases.
Those shafts.
We took the shafts are gone. They're down. And anyway, we're going to build out permanent first turn seating over there. That's about a $90 million project.
How big of a building is that going
to
be?
I have to check my notes that I don't have in front of me at this very position,
curious.
But it's going to add seats. I think right now we're at about 3,200 seats that are in the temporary structure. It's going to go up to around, I think it's north of 5,000. 5,200 is the number that I have in my head, along with hospitality space.
I was
going to
say, is there going to be some rooms?
Absolutely. And that's the important thing. Look, whatever we build now, you try to build something expecting, what if it rains?
Yeah.
You want somebody to have a good experience. We can't dome the 197 acres here at the Downs, but we can sure build, you know, proper space for hospitality in the event of inclement weather.
Absolutely.
And then we've teased it. We haven't come out with any details yet. I think there's an earnings call coming soon, so I wouldn't be surprised if more information is delivered over at the corporate office, but we've teased for 2024, we will have a redesign of the Churchill Downs paddock. And I've seen plans of this, and I'm just telling you, I think it's one of the most transformative projects we've ever done, and it will be really great. And that's just in time for Derby 150.
Everything was being geared to a huge celebration for the what do we call that, the 150? That's not a sesquicentennial, is it? What are they, there's a name for the 150th anniversaries.
Yeah,
is a sesquicentennial. It might be a sesquicentennial. Is it a sesquicentennial? I think it's a sesquicentennial.
I'll leave that up to you and your crossword puzzle.
All right, there you go. That's today's Wordle question is what the 150th anniversary. Somebody tell us on Twitter, and we'll send you a hat. I'll get one from Kevin. there you go. It'll be Philadelphia related. It'll have nothing to do with Derby. It might be the new Philadelphia Stars USFL team, but it'll be something. It'll be a free gift. Just
I'll leave the Philly talk to you and KK.
All right. Save that up.
That's you guys.
Well, then besides the obvious, constant the building in here, I happen to be able to. Tina, we stayed at the Hyatt. We were down on the waterfront for Thunder on Saturday night, and then walking back, I saw the Derby City Gaming construction next to the Galt House. So another
corporate
parlor.
Doing that. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Another parlor that will have the historical horse racing machines. Derby City Gaming, we talked about the redirect of some of the funding from that hotel project. Those are direct results of that. We decided to endeavor on the space right downtown near the convention center. It's a great spot. It'll be active, much like Derby City Gaming is right now. They're building a hotel at Derby City Gaming. I think it's 6 floors high. It'll be dynamite. And, I remember coming on this show about 3-4 years ago, and I said, Steve, Kentucky is on the come. Kentucky racing is on the come, and the racing program right now with the fueled by the purse money is outstanding. I mean, the $120,000 maiden special weights all year long. All year long.
It's unbelievable.
This isn't a Derby week special.
No.
It's really going to be the place to be. And now you have a new turf course to go along with it. Competitive racing, large fields, it's what people want.
Well, and to be honest, we hadn't really thought about this, and you and I haven't discussed it at all because it happened the way it happened in terms of timing, but Turfway is basically going to be, Churchill, mini Churchill the rest of the year. I mean, the only time that you're not going to have, the operation running in Kentucky is when Keeneland runs and Kentucky Downs and Ellis. I mean, everything else is CDI.
Yeah, they're. I mean, the investment up there has been great. The horsemen love the Tapeta surface that they've raced over. I know the bettors around the country have responded.
Oh, it was a great meet. The meet was fabulous.
Yeah, the handles was through the roof. I mean, it was like doubling what they used to do. It's really been good, and it's a great way to keep Kentucky horsemen home. They don't have to travel throughout the year. I mean, it's not easy on families and folks. They're still going to send divisions down to Gulfstream and Fairgrounds and
Tampa
and Tampa and Oaklawn Park, but you don't have to do it. You can stay here at home and race for great money.
Well, and that
I mean,
was
they had what their maiden special weights were what 62,000,
and I think even
and it's only going to get stronger.
Yeah.
It's only going to get stronger. I think what is it this summer? The grandstand is going to be ready for operation.
Yeah.
So I think it's coming soon.
No, and I don't know if it's a corporate question for you or not, but
the answer is if it's not Churchill Downs racetrack related, it is.
Colonial.
Yeah, I know they've invested in that as well, and I know historical horse racing machines have been very prevalent down there, so there's some great great opportunities.
Is there any, I mean, do you know of any, and maybe this is a question, we'll talk to Jill Byrne soon enough. I thought $2 billion was a lot to pay to get Jill Byrne back in the corporate fold.
whatever it takes.
I've used that line twice now. There might be some natural, combination feed-in from their summer meet into September. You know, some sort of,
I'm sure they're talking, coming up with ideas to make it a natural. Yeah.
Well, more importantly, let's get the most important question. Davis is going to be drafted any minute. We will see him at low A ball, I think, by late summer.
He's on a heater right now. You might have to. I don't know if he's coming out. He's Thursday or Friday of next week.
Wait a minute. Has he graduated from Thurby to Oaks Day now?
Oh yes. Oh no. Look. One of my. Benefits of working here, I am allowed, six clubhouse walk-around passes for Oaks and Derby.
Oh, fun.
And, Stephanie, my wife, she's utilized them each year, gets a couple of friends. Davis discovered the infield last year at age 15. He has already claimed both days this year. Where Mama, I think, is trying to reclaim one of the 2 days. But, yeah, he's already got his Derby outfit picked out.
Nice. Or,
he's incorporating pink, so he's got the option open. But, he's a handful. He's going to be driving now.
Oh, geez.
In 2 weeks. Preakness. May 16th, right around Preakness time, he'll be...
Full-fledged?
No, he's got the permit now.
Wow,
good little driver too. Good little driver.
How about that?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
I've been
and
watching
baseball. I mean,
the baseball stuff is unbelievable. He's
crushing it.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, I've watched everything you put up, and you guys enjoy.
The most important thing: he's a great student, and he's a good kid, and he's having fun.
Was he a sophomore?
Sophomore.
So, is he going to stay around for college, or is he going to venture out?
Or he's a sophomore.
Is he getting any notice? Is he?
No. He's a good baseball player, but he's not that good. He's not D1 good, but he's also a sophomore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's see what happens. He's grown. Right. He's my height now, so he's challenged by the Rogers family. he's about 5'8". And he's 165 now.
Holy cow.
As a sophomore. I've told him when I played shortstop as a senior, I was 5'9", 135.
I'm twice that
size today. Wow. But that's neither here nor there. But, there's two of me now. But anyway, he's great. I mean, he's really doing well. He's just getting into the Derby horses, so I'm sure he'll drop by the show.
He'll have a pick. All right.
He'll have
all
a
right.
pick for you.
Well, we'll get yours then, too. But we got a couple of minutes before I got to get Austin Reed and Chris Griffin in. But your early feel, the last few years, you've been distracted. You between the pandemic issues and some other things that weighed on your time and attention, you haven't had the focus you used to have on these horses leading up. But I'm sure maybe it was a little quieter this winter coming in.
Yeah, ish.
Ish, there you go. I know.
You know, there are things I cannot talk about. Litigation may be involved. My time was taken up with a number of matters. I tell you what, I am of the belief that we have some very good horses at the top of this Derby crop. And I've felt all winter long that, and especially since the Risen Star, that the top three finishers were the ones to beat in Epicenter, Smile Happy, and Zandon. I am vested in Zandon in Pool One of the Future Wager.
Ooh,
pretty good. 56-1.
56-1.
And I'm also vested in Pool Four with some exacta boxes of those three. I'm not as keen today on Smile Happy as I was going into that, but I really think Epicenter and Zandon are very, very nice Colts.
That has been the principal, I think.
And it's not brain surgery right now. This is where I've been saying it all winter, but now they're the top two favorites. So I'm not going to, I was speaking with Mike Welsh. I don't know if he brought it up on your show, but, you know, he's even under the impression he thinks Zandon might
could go favorite
based off of that breeze the other day.
He sent them some mojo.
I don't necessarily see that myself. I think Epicenter he checks every box. I mean, what's your knock on him?
There isn't. And in fact, I saw somebody wrote a thing on Twitter after the workouts yesterday, and they said everybody's in a twist over this, that, and the other, and you know, what are they going to say when Epicenter wins? Period.
Yeah. No. It's just he's just. I thought the prep race in the Louisiana Derby was absolutely sensational. On paper, he looked to be, two, three, four lengths clear on the lead. And because he had the 50 points, Asmussen, that's why he's a Hall of Fame trainer, let's let him settle, tuck in, and teach him to rate. And he rated so beautifully. So he's so tactical. You can go to the front if you need to. If he needs to sit, he can sit. I mean, they're really sitting in a very, very good position right now with a very, very talented horse. And Zandon, I'd like to see him into the race a little more forwardly placed early on. The ride that Pratt gave him at Keeneland was just sensational. I mean, I bet on him, and I was vested in the long run.
Sure.
And that day. And I'm thinking, when are you going to go? What are you going to do? Where are you going? He was so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. So I'd like to see that horse a little more into the race. Maybe he will be on Derby Day. Who knows?
We'll get more with you and get final selections down the road. But I do want to at least fold in the Oaks conversation because we talk about all the investment in the physical plan. Forget that. The investment to make Oaks the horse has spilled over into the point. Derby and all the rest of that. But the Oaks, the prominence of the Oaks and the focus of it by horsemen and owners and everything else has really elevated. And I don't know if it's just a good group of 3-year-old fillies or if it's that contributing. And I do have a side question. We may have to reach for Ben Uffman, who just loves being on radio and TV and stuff.
He'll do it.
No, he won't. He promises he will, and then he disappears when you need him.
Yeah.
Why? Steve Margolis, of all people, asked me this morning, how come the Oaks Field isn't expanded now with that gate to 16? Or even 18.
I don't know if the gate will fit down there at the mile and eighth start.
That's interesting.
That might be part of it. I do know that in discussions we had several years ago, when we were looking into getting a new starting gate, we were looking at a 16 horse gate. So I think you could go to 60. You can't do 20 with that shorter run going into the first turn. That's one spot, number one.
Yeah.
But we're not opposed to growing the field size.
If we can, we would.
So I think there's something with that.
Interesting. All right. Because Margo asked that, I thought, that's a great question.
Well, it's amazing because, you look at the history of the Kentucky Oaks, and I know when we went to the point system in 2013 for both races, the Oaks was mocked a little bit because, we never really got 14 horses per race. But if you look at the last few years, I mean, we had, 13 last year, I got a, you know, 9 in 2020, but that was the September one where they're, you know what they have. But, you know, 2019, 14. 2018, 14. 2017, 14. 2016, 14.
Wow.
2012, 14. I mean, we didn't used to get, we used to have 7, 10,
9,
12, somewhere around there. So, anyway, yes, there is a great focus on the oaks. You know, we took, within about a decade's period, we doubled oak stay handle in 10 years. It used to be a $30 million day on a Friday, and now it's close to this. It's 60, well, 60 plus, million. Yep. So it's a you know, the whole week is really taking off, and you know, now that we have, I mean, just look at the stakes schedule, the entire spring meet and going into the year. I mean, the overnight stakes are 160,000. Most every stake is a minimum 200,000. These are ways for owners and breeders in Kentucky to you know, recoup their investments, and I think it's just going to make our racing great.
No, the week, and we'll obviously, you know, as we edge closer and we get the fields, and the draws will be Monday, Oaks and Derby draw.
Yeah, both
from today.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We decided to. I think we teased it on your show a few times.
Yeah.
We've talked about doing a double draw, but you know, Dan Bork, our stakes coordinator, would have, as Ben Huffman told me, he'd fall over, and we sat down this last summer. And sat with Dan, and Dan was didn't even blink an eye. He's like,
yeah, sure.
27 races in one day. And he said, can we move it off of 11 a.m. to 2 o'clock in case we need to, you know, keep races open a little longer?
Yeah,
so that's why we have the 2 o'clock in the afternoon draw. And we'll be able to, you know, assuming Mike Battaglia, who is now, I believe this is year 48 of doing the morning line odds at Churchill Downs, 48 or 49, he's nearing 50. Years of doing it.
For the sesquicentennial, that'll be his 50th.
I think it is.
There you go.
I think it is.
49 next year, 50 there.
So anyway, he's you know, I don't envy that task of setting a morning line for 27 races in one day, but I would imagine, you know, by Tuesday morning, you'll have finals of all the, you know, you know, programs and past performances with information, and that's an extra day in the hands of the bettors, and I just think it's...
Exactly.
When you have such a strong 2 days of racing, the more time you can handicap and prepare your multi-race wagers,
exactly,
et cetera, and your strategies, I think it's great. And so that's why we're doing it.
The multi-day wagers as well. We'll go over all of that with Gary Palmisano as well and get everybody squared away. Dee, I appreciate it. As always, thrilled to be here. There's no feeling... then coming to the Ville and coming here, and these 2 weeks are my favorite of the year.
Yeah, it's great. I hear we have there's one issue on Derby that we haven't resolved yet. I understand we have a conflict on Saturday for our annual suburban fish fry.
We do. I will somehow make arrangements. I have to.
You
run.
Do not need to make arrangements.
No, you don't need to make arrangements.
I just don't like the fact that you might not be here for our fish fry.
And I'm also going to apparently miss the Big John's got his thing. I've got to go home to Connecticut. For Saturday afternoon, evening, Sunday morning, I have to.
Okay, you do what you got to do.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Bing bang, I leave 6 a.m. Saturday morning. I'm back 7:30 Sunday night. So it's kind of a weird, but it's
It needs to be done.
It needs to be done, and it's there's some good and there's some not so good, but overall. But it doesn't mean there will not be Green River style suburban fish fry fish here Saturday for you guys.
Love it.
All right.
Always look forward to it.
Dee, thank you as always.
Great to see you, pal.
Love being here. Darren Rogers, everybody. Derby Media, although he's so busy that you have to just look to Horse Racing.
Horse Racing KK.
Yeah.
You get the occasional, there's too many boxes for me to check right now. I can't be everywhere at once.
No.
Although we always try.
Well, okay, and what you've got
Kurskane
is
the best.
Is unbelievable. He's just an incredible resource. Darren Rogers, though, everybody, the invocation, one of our favorite moments of the coverage. Let's stay right here. We've got about 15 minutes to close out, and I am not letting, in fact, I got less than that, 10 minutes, and we've got two quick hits. Austin Reed joins us from Finger Lakes, and it is opening day at the Flakes. That's also one of my favorite days. Austin, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm terrific, and just wasn't going to let the season opener go by without our annual visit, and looking forward. It's such an important part of racing in New York.
Yeah, I think you sent your weather our way. We have 80 degrees yesterday, 78 degrees today. Couldn't ask for better opening weather.
Give us a quick glance at the meet, and I'll check in as the meet and as the season unfolds. But it's a long season, and let's go through the schedule and the menu and what everybody can expect.
Yeah, the best thing about Finger Lakes is we're kind of a family run racetrack, and our horses are laid up in the winter. You know, maybe 20% go south or go to New York and race, and so we run from April 25th. Which is today, all the way to the day before Thanksgiving, and we get 100 racing days, Monday through Wednesday. We'll pick up Thursdays in the fall, and, you know, our average purse is $16,000. We try to get 8 or 9 races a day on that Monday through Wednesday, we are just 3 hours close. We're close to Saratoga. We got great weather. We got the Finger Lakes, and we're excited to get this meet kicked off.
When is New York Derby Day, and some of the highlights on the schedule?
So we have the Derby, we have the Oaks, and then we're really big in the two-year-old stakes. We've got the Lady Fingers, the Aspirant, and then the Futurity, and all of these are big-time stakes. The dates, oh goodness, we've got the Derbies on July 18th, the Oaks on July 25th. And then the two-year-old stakes, which are big for our local breeders, Lady Fingers and Aspirant are on September 26th, followed up by the Big Futurity on October 17th. So it's exciting time. We got to stay close by Saratoga. The trainers come over. The riders come over. It's only a three-hour drive, and we get some, you know, real classy horses.
Well, and heck, I'll come over on a lot of occasions. I came over with Siaka. That was one of the great thrills when Hit It Once More won the New York Derby. I came with Gary and with Bruce Brown. We drove back and forth. We should mention, there's really, you talk about family at Finger Lakes, and of course, this lead up to Derby with Ray Lou Gutierrez involved, that is going to be a lot of people rooting in, you know, the simulcast, watching TVs, and betting on Ray Lou.
I'm telling you, you couldn't ask for a nicer kid. His father trains horses here, Louis Gutierrez, and Ray Lou, he wants to come back and gallop here when he's free. I mean, He's got such a busy schedule from Houston to Oakland, and now he's in Kentucky. We couldn't be happy for him. Worked so hard, went to college right out of high school here in Victor, New York, and got his degree, and then fell back into the love of racing. And, I mean, I don't know if he'll like me saying this, but he couldn't hold on in the beginning, and now I don't even recognize him. He looks like a veteran. the smile is so big. And you can tell the personality's rubbing off. He's got so many big outfits, and everybody up here is rooting for him. Couldn't ask for a better kid, and he's so humble, and he's a really hardworking kid.
It's a great story, and he impresses everybody wherever he goes. And nice couple of days to get the season started at Finger Lakes. If you haven't looked today, you got kind of an optional claimer starter allowance as the feature, and there's also a nice maiden group. The usual Finger Lakes menu that you can look forward to. Austin Reed, best of luck, safe season for everybody at Finger Lakes. I appreciate the opportunity to kick it off with you.
All right, Steve, and we hope to see you this year, whether it's the Derby or the two-year-old stakes. We'll have a chair waiting for you.
I appreciate it, and I'm sure Bill Coker will hold court wherever that chair may be. The judge won't be too far away and the great crowd that you get at Finger Lakes for the live racing and for the simulcast. Finger Lakes kicking off their season. Best of luck to them. We're going to turn around. We got about 5 minutes to spend with Chris Griffin, and we'll get into these two stakes today. I didn't want these to go unnoticed. The Paige McKinney is going to go off as the ninth. And then you've got the Unique Bella. I thought that the Paige McKinney might have been, you know, a little bit deeper and a little bit, more interesting from a betting standpoint. We'll see what Chris Griffin's thoughts are. In addition, very notably today and tomorrow, you've got maiden races for two-year-olds at Parks that feature some prominent stallions, both regionally and nationally, in terms of debuters. And how about Always Dreaming, Amira Wins? Jim Chapman has got Amira Wins the three today with a first starter. John Service sends Mainline's Chance Occurrence. This will be the first opportunity runner. Who else? There's another one, too, tomorrow. The Lieutenant has already had that starter, Baytown Melody, that started at Keeneland. Paul McEntee sends this one over, and Accelerates first starter, City of Light as well. And I hear Chris Griffin. Good morning.
Good morning. You want me to look at tomorrow's card, too? Jeez. I've already looked at it. No, there's some good two-year-olds. Yeah, how about two furlong races, Parks, Monday and Tuesday? It's fun to see.
It's crazy, and it is going to be notable because there's chances, like I said, for stallions to get their first winners. And I should also note that our friend, I referenced Mainline and Will Schwartz. I see that Jim McInvale and Laura Wohlers have got a pair entered tomorrow. That's an interesting sidelight. But let's get some pushes from you in the Paige McKinney and the Unique Bella. We got about 3 minutes.
Okay, yeah, I've taken a look at the Paige McKinney, and it's really going to come down to what kind of horse do we see Barron come back to be. As a three-year-old, obviously, very dominant stakes-type horse, earning just under $500,000 already in his career. It's interesting to see how he comes back. From what I hear, you know, that he's been training well. Should be ready for this effort. He's going to have company because these are some good sprinters in this race at the 7-furlong distance. I just think the 9, I Am Redeemed, is the now horse. He just has done very well at 7 furlongs. He's done very well for Penny Pierce. Abner Adorno has had a great meet. Farmo Power is the 8. I'll put that one in the exact if I'm taking a look at horses to kind of pick up some of the pieces. He's been running against his style. I think he wants to be a little further back and unleash a big rally, and I think he'll be able to do that because they're going to be going quick up front. There's some horses coming off of the layoffs. I Am Redeemed, though, he's the now horse. He's the Pennsylvania bred that has just been very dominant. He came back and looked very impressive as a four-year-old, and he's won twice at this distance, so if you get anything close to 5-2, that's the pick.
Well, I do have to mention, I thought that Wait For It, last year's winner from Eddie Coletti, if he runs back to last year's Paige McKinney effort, that should fit this quite well.
No question about it. Depends on how he comes back as well. He did need a little bit of time off as the, you know, he's getting a little bit older, 7-year-old gelding. They wanted to give him some of that freshening and give him some time off at the farm. So now he's come back. We'll see what he can do here in this race. He does have a stocking type trip. Nunez knows him quite well. Coletti has been putting together winners here at a pretty good clip. So yeah, it's a competitive race. It's a tough spot for Barron to come back in. But look, if you get a horse like Barron, the Pennsylvania bred by Wygelia, to be able to run off the layoff and offer you some sort of value, that's huge. He's 4 of 9 here at Parks. He's 1 for 3 at the distance, so 7 furlongs is a little bit tricky for me, too. I think he's the storyline in there, but I think I Am Redeemed is, like I say, is the now horse. I just think that he's kind of the one to keep an eye on, and maybe he makes some noise from a national standpoint a little bit later on in the year.
5-2 for Penny Pierce, who's had a great season so far. And maybe one other horse I'll note, For the Love of Bourbon, Kendrick Carmouche comes back to town to ride for Michael Pino. And, respectable efforts at 7/8. Might be a little better at 6, but that conditional allowance try, 3 back was all right. I For the Love of Bourbon might get a good trip in behind the speed, which probably is Barron, and I suppose Word on a Wing will be forwardly placed too. How about the Unique Bella?
Unique Bella, that one's a little bit more tricky. Hey Mama Luke, I'm not quite sure what happened to her last start out. You know, she was so impressive in the two starts prior to that fifth beat in 12. She just didn't really have the same type. Now, it was playing the closers in that effort, so maybe it was something to do with that. But Cinnabunny's the pick for me. I just think second off the layoff, Cal Lynch, Jorge Ruiz, they've teamed up and they've done some really nice things here at Parks for limited sampling. I know Andrew Wolfson is going to be on the 9 Flattering Ruby. Has been ridden by Jackie Davis, but Andrew Wolfson, who's relocated here to Parks to ride here full-time, he's actually going to pick up that mount. So that one's a little bit more tricky. I think you can make a case for quite a few horses in there. Precious is in there. Philadelphia Belle has shown something. But, again, another race that looks like there should be plenty of speed, should set things up for a trip like Cinnabunny from just off of it. A horse that had run in the Sugar Swirl, Inside Information, the flat, you know, she's running some really high quality stakes races, and I just think that she needed that effort. So second off the layoff, I like the 6 Cinnabunny.
It's also an interesting, I'm just noticing, I hadn't really considered her to begin with, but Minding Millie turns back in here from 2 turn efforts. It's got route speed. A little intriguing. This is 2 fun races, the 9th and the 10th today. The Unique Bella for the girls, the Paige McKinney for the boys. And note that 3-year-old race, 2 furlongs today and tomorrow, the 3rd, both days with some potential new stallions getting potential first winners. Chris Griffin in the grandstand. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it, as always.
Chris Griffin, folks, earlier Austin Reed, but our principal conversations live here at Churchill with Mike Welch, Darren Rogers, and Dallas Stewart. A lot more to do tomorrow. Mig, of course, was with us as well. We'll talk to you from Churchill Tuesday morning.
The Belmont Stakes returns to Belmont Park Saturday, June 11th. Tickets to the top of the stretch, the premier trackside picnic area with personal grills are almost sold out. Tickets to the Test of the Champion are on sale at BelmontStakes.com. Hurry before it's gone.
The Ponds Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. 4 brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred 2-year-olds. There are 2 $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has 2 more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping. monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.